On the cover, a young boy in a rough-looking hoodie walks through the halls of a busy hospital. He has stopped in front of the door to a room. Through the doorway, we can see a wrapped and bandaged figure lying in the bed. A clipboard hanging next to the door reads, Castillo.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
I'm John Hobb, and I'm just a kid.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 85, New Masks.
On the inside cover of this issue, we see a flashback ad. The page has pastel green and pink stripes running diagonally across it, behind a book spread open in the center. Around the book are scattered assortments of candies, all brightly colored and meticulously designed. Across the book is a banner which reads, Libros Dulces, 16 May Street, High Shore. So the first page of our comic shows a pair of crossed legs under an ornate wooden desk. The figure is wearing dark stockings and red shoes. The next panel shows a neatly manicured hand writing what looks like a letter on the desk. In the corner of the panel, we can see a desk drawer, which has been left slightly open, and the edge of a picture frame inside. The readers will notice on the last page of the panel, the top of the handwritten letter reads, Dear Ramon. We turn the page to see a lone figure walking up the street towards the Protean City Mall Hospital. The figure is wearing a dark hoodie with the hood up covering their face and their hands in their pockets. It's a gloomy day and it's darker than it should be on a mid-fall afternoon. It looks like it's threatening to rain. James, can you please describe who we see walking down the road?
I mean, right now he's John. He's been recovering from everything that happened. It was a lot. And I think that he has probably taken some time away from the team. He's been reconnecting with his father, who suddenly remembers that he exists sometimes.
Oh, my heart.
And so they've been bonding. And I think that also they have been, like, things have not been all, like, hunky-dory at the Hobb household, even though his father now remembers that he's around, because they have been making reasonably regular trips to the prison to visit his mother. And his dad is not happy. And John kind of understands more of the situation, so he's been trying to, like, mediate that relationship. But things are not great. But he hasn't really been out heroing. He's been doing a lot of, like, introspection. I think he's actually probably been doing a lot of this, like, just walking around the city, watching the people in the city, watching other heroes solve stop crimes, watching how people react to stuff. And today he is going to the hospital.
Just to remind our readers, he has no powers, right?
Yes.
He lost them.
Yes. Yeah. And after the team defeated his doom, we enacted my plan, and we froze. Mostly Ben and I froze the trickster in a giant dark black crystal that now stands in the middle of the Protean City University. And so with that, he lost all of his powers. He lost all of his doom, like, he lost that, like, sense that, like, he was being chased. He lost all the negative things that came with it as well. But yeah, he can't open portals, he can't see into people's memories, he can't create fairies. Um, he he spends less time at the lighthouse. It was once his like most sacred sanctuary. And it is still a place that he can go to, but it doesn't quite have that like warmth because like his fairy John isn't there. The like crappy little fridge he had, which used to be stocked with whatever random food the fairies would bring him, is not stocked with anything anymore because he always forgets to bring stuff. It feels a little bit more dangerous to climb up there now. Right. And so he goes there from time to time, but it doesn't quite feel the same. And so he's kind of like, I think one of the reasons why he's wandering around the city so much is to sort of like feel out like who is he as John in this city, not as Puck.
And I'm just going to go out on a limb and assume he hasn't had any contact with his estranged girlfriend.
No, Alina. I don't think so. I think that maybe there was like one or two times where he tried to call and like the acid answered and it was just too weird and he couldn't. I mean, it's hard enough with like every time he goes to see Ben, he has to re-explain who he is first before they can like go about their daily business. But that, I think that relationship was, it's just too hard. It was like the center of what got him through the end and pushed through the like to enact the plan and give him that bravery, and to have that like all recognition be gone is just hard.
My heart, it broke. Okay. So we see shut up, Brandon. It's a happy episode, I swear. Just kidding. So we see John walking through the front doors of the mall hospital, and he walks past a Raskin Bobbins and a Bluebird Burger up to the front desk of the mall hospital. And there's a nurse there, and she's wearing like the very stereotypical white, like weird fan hat with the red cross on it and like a white nurse's uniform. It's like very nurse, what's her name? Nurse
Joy.
Joy. Yeah, it's that. And she's sitting behind the desk, and she has a name tag on that says Gail. She looks up from her work. Hello, and welcome to Protean City's first Memorial Mall Hospital. How may I help you today?
Mrs. Sinclair, you don't need to give me the whole talk, like, every time. Like, it's me, it's John.
Oh, hi, John. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you here to see your friend?
Yeah, is he awake?
I can check for you. And she, like, dials up the room, calls the room phone, and says, hello, I have a visitor. Okay, great, I'll send him right up. Yes, he's waking up right now, so he should be great to see you.
All right. Thanks, Mrs. Sinclair.
Oh, you're welcome, John. You have a nice visit.
And I'll, like, knock on the desk and wave and then and head up.
Okay.
To wherever in the small hospital I'm going.
So he's on the main floor. They've moved him downstairs because he's not in like critical condition anymore and he's feeling a little bit better. So he's been taking walks around maybe. But he has a room to himself. We see John walk in and Ramon is in a bed by himself with a nice window behind him. It's a nice day. But he's hooked up to a bunch of wires and monitors. No oxygen for some reason, but he's set up otherwise.
Yeah, and he's still, like, he is still wrapped at like, he's had a couple of days that he's been able to get up and move and stuff like that, but he goes down the hallway looking like a mummy. The doctors have tried to get him to take the wraps off, and they took the wraps off once, and he insisted that they get them back on, and so, like, he is, he's got the gown pulled up. And he got, he probably got John to bring him a hoodie at some point. Mm-hmm. And so he's also got just one of John's hoodies pulled up, like, partially over his head, and his face is just gauzed and covered.
Is this because you think you're still sick, or you're trying to hide?
Because he arrived on the business end of a spaceship.
Right.
And so, like, he's not walking away from that. Even these weeks or months later, there is still going to be ongoing damage to him, even with his like kind of sort of sped up healing, that comes from being able to oxygenate his blood kind of naturally.
But you said the doctors keep trying to take it off because you are getting better, but you probably don't feel like you're getting better. Is that what, like?
Yeah, probably some of that.
Okay.
The doctors want you to do what is medically indicated.
Right.
And Ramon is not necessarily the best at taking advice from people.
Not negative.
There have been definitely multiple times that, like, that he has thrown things after doctors fleeing from his room. But for today, he's laying down, he's covered up. But when John comes in, like, he raises his head up, and you just see, like, just his eyes, mostly, through the thing, because he's really covered. And they've gone from being, this deep, dark brown to being just, like, completely white and black. It's just like he has ongoing problems from all of this.
This baby is traumatized.
Yes.
Oh, poor baby.
But he like shifts and kind of like pushes himself up. He's moving much better than he was. And like raises hand and goes like, John, hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up, King Tut? And I'll like reach into my backpack and pull out like a little used book or something that I've brought you and toss it under the bed, and then throw my backpack in the corner and like slump into one of the chairs in the room.
Yeah, and like Ramon immediately is like grabbing up the book and like taking a look at it and going like, oh, nice, yes. And he's got like a stack of books next to his bed, and he like sits up with like a cross-legged position, kind of like leaning on his knees. And he goes, John, I think I'm getting out today.
Yeah, I think you probably could have left like weeks ago.
No, John, I couldn't have left weeks ago, but I've figured it out. I figured out just what I'm going to do. I figured out where this all heads. I've got a plan, man. I've got a plan and it's coming together. All right.
I think that there's like a moment when he's talking about a plan and it all coming together where John kind of like, he catches his breath and he's just like, yeah, just be careful with that. I mean, plans are good. Plans are good.
Yeah, but, plans, you know, they work out. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there for yours, but...
No, it's fine. It all worked out. Everything's good. I'm not dead.
Hey, man, any crash you walk away from, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you feel that you just exposed a weakness? It was more in your tone than anything else. So
I think that it was enough. It was more of like a physical thing, like when he started talking about a plan. I think if Ramon is paying attention to like John's face,
I have a -2 mundane right now.
Oh, so maybe not.
I don't. Yeah, with the end of the last session, I used my moment of truth. And mm-hmm. I locked one of my labels, but I also had an advancement and rearranged my labels.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of to like say, like to handle that business, he's at danger 3, locked at danger 3, freak +2, savior +2, superior -1, mundane -2.
Yeah. Mm.
Because he's very much like he's ready to go. Like even in the panel, you can see he's kind of like jumping to get out there and do some heroing.
Cool.
So I don't know if he would notice so necessarily.
If he's
that John's
not paying
upset.
Attention enough, then I don't think I'm not sure.
It
I
wasn't
quite
explicitly said. No.
Yeah.
All right.
Like,
cool.
Like he would pump his brakes the moment he realized.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's there right now.
Cool. No worries. So while you guys are talking and you're having this exchange where both of you are kind of you're talking to each other, but neither of you is really in the headspace to be listening to each other. You're both thinking about very specific different things.
Yeah. We're the best friends.
You're the best, best friends. Your regular nurse is going to come in. Her name is Rose. She's been with you from the beginning. She's taking a real liking to you, and she's used to seeing John around. So she's going to come in and just to check your vitals, just to make sure that everything is still good. So you guys keep talking. She's just going to kind of come in the room, check over your monitor, look over your chart, and then she's going to just interrupt you guys kindly and say, hey, Ramon, guess what, honey? I think you're getting discharged today.
Great. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
Okay, so, Anne, don't get ahead of yourself. Just calm down. It's fine. We're just going to have to go through your paperwork. It's going to take a, you know, couple of minutes, and I'll get that to you as fast as I can, honey. I know you're itching to get out of here.
Yeah. I'll get it all paid back. I've been working for a while and got some stuff put away.
Don't worry about it, honey. You're covered. It's all good. Don't worry about it. So just sit tight, order yourself some lunch. Both you boys can get lunch, and then I'll be back in a few minutes to get you your papers and get you on out of here. Doesn't that sound nice?
Great. Thank
you. She's like this older lady, and she just like adores you.
and Ramona's like he's trying very hard to be polite because he thinks that's important, but he can't do it right now.
Okay. So she's going to check over your chart and, you know, give John a nice little pat on the shoulder, pull his hood down off of his head just to, you know, because that's appropriate. And she's got that kind of vibe. And she's going to head out.
Did she disconnect me from the machines?
She didn't. No.
Okay.
She was just checking on you. Are you going to disconnect yourself?
Yes, I disconnect myself from the machines.
John okay. would, like, stand up quickly from where he's been sitting. He would walk over to Ramon and as he's pulling, like, pulling needles and stuff out of his arms, I'm imagining. And he's just going to, like, he's going to reach out and a hand and put it on your shoulder and, like, really, like, make eye contact with you. Just be careful. You know what happens when they open the Pharaoh's tomb. Everybody gets cursed.
What?
You look like a goddamn mummy. Take off the bandages. You're fine.
I need the bandages. Listen, the mummy thing, it's not sticking around. I got a new costume. I borrowed one of the nurse's phones, and he showed me how to use Amazon, and I got all the stuff I need. It's great. New costume, new name, new outlook. Things are turning up, okay? Things are turning up. But help me get this window open. And he's trying to like
you're bust trying to out the jump window. Out the window.
Yeah, she said he's all paid. He's out. He's not waiting for paperwork.
We can go out the front door.
So
if
while
I go out
this
the front
is
door,
happening,
they're going to make me fill out papers.
While this is happening, so here's our scene. So Ramon is like up on that weird windowsill that's also doubles as like the heating and air conditioning unit, and you're climbing up on it trying to get out that window that kind of opens on a diagonal. Like, I don't know what your plan is, but it's not a good open window.
No,
so
we see this is going to be a squeeze.
We see Ramon wrapped in bandages, climbing up on the windowsill, trying to get out the window. And John is like getting up to go help him. And in the corner of the picture, we see
I think you mean stop. Sorry, just so we're clear. Stop. I'm trying to stop him from jump out the window. I'm not trying to help him get out the window.
So on your way over there in this image, we see your bedside table, the one that has like your pudding cup and your juice box on it.
Yeah.
There's a little white envelope there that was not there when you first arrived that you notice on your way over to get your friend out the window. John notices, yes.
And so I guess I would kind of like, is it say Ramon on it?
No.
It's just like a sealed envelope?
Yes.
I guess I would kind of like, I'm going to take a look at it. Like, that's a little bit weird, but I'm going to keep walking over to Ramon and be like, what is your damn hurry? Like, go fill out the forms. These people took care of you. Show them the respect that they took care of you, man. You were not great. You haven't even, like, you have mail here. You haven't even opened up your mail. Like, what are you going to do with all these books that I brought you? Like, where are you going? You haven't thought this through. Just slow down.
I can't tell if you're provoking me or shifting my labels.
I'm going to say provoking.
I think I'm trying to provoke you to not go out this window.
To not do it. Yeah. So go ahead and roll to provoke.
Okay. So that's a 5.
Oh, good.
So as you're running over to him, you are going to trip over the weird sticking out wheel of the hospital bed, and you're going to face plant on the floor. Probably busts your nose pretty bad. Ugh. So that's bad. I'm going to have you mark a condition.
Oh, no. Which one?
What do you have available?
Afraid and insecure.
Insecure.
John and Ramon are in the Angry, Guilty, Helpless Club right now.
I love them so much. So you're gonna fall and hit your face pretty hard. Your friend Ramon is not going to leave you bloodied on the floor.
Well, will he? He might.
No, he is.
He is? You're gonna leave anyway?
He gets the window open and, like, he's, like, three quarters of the way out the window at this point. How high up am I?
Yeah, no, let's make it the third floor. Let's say the first two floors are the mall, and then we get into hospital. So you're on the third floor.
So he's, like, three quarters of the way out the window, and he just, like, leans in, and he goes, yeah, great, grab my stuff, meet me at my apartment. And he, like, just ducks his head under and just, like, back jumps out the window.
Oh my gosh.
To try to just, like, flip down onto the ground. And he is, like, fully wrapped.
Wrapped.
whether he needs it or not, fully wrapped. With, like, the hospital gown just, like, floating open. And the, one of John's hoodies, tossed over him as well.
Good thing you're in Protean City where nobody looks twice at a weird person being weird.
Yeah. So I think he's just gonna, like, three-point stance landing on the ground.
Cool.
And just start, like, parkour running. He's going straight back to his place.
Your friend has left you, John, bloodied on the floor of the hospital. Your nose may be broken. Yeah. It's not great. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I think John would pick himself up and go over to the corner and grab his backpack. And he's just kind of like walking around muttering like, well, I guess I'm going to pick up all this stuff. it's good thing I'm in a hospital. So I'm going to scoop like all of these books that I've like this stack of books that I brought him, the envelope, anything else that looks like it's not hospital stuff, and scoop it into my backpack and I guess walk out the front door like of the hospital, maybe see if I can find someone to look at my nose quickly.
Okay. So we're going to cut to...
But then I would head to his apartment.
Right, I figured. So we're going to leave you to that, and we're going to cut to Ramon's apartment. So what happens when you get home? You haven't been there in months.
Yeah, and there are, like, stacks of boxes outside the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been ordering a bunch of stuff online. So, like, he arrives and, like, It's definitely not a nice apartment. Like, I think we've established that it's a pretty run-down place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get, like, a panel of, like an older neighbor peeking their head out, who's, like, always, like, checking in on seeing who's going by.
Totally.
And Ramon, completely wrapped, coming up and, like, looking over at them and, like, holding up his hands and going, it's me. It's you. Don't worry. Go back in your apartment. And just, like, grabbing his, like, fishing around in his stuff for his keys. But, of course, he doesn't have that. So he just, like, looks to the lock and just, like, punches it real quick to break it. Lets himself into the apartment, just, like, moving the boxes with his shoes. With his wrapped feet. With his fat wrapped feet, yes.
Where does Winter live? Like, what part of the city?
Yeah, he lives in the Bash. He has an apartment that is close enough that he can easily, like, going over a building that takes a little bit of work. If he goes out past that, he can get to a subway. And it's not too far from his alternate self's son's house. Apartment, rather.
Mm, okay.
But it's definitely, like, he is in an old busted building that is not the greatest building. He goes in and, like, slams the door behind him. Then there's just, like the door, like, creaking open on its own because it is broken now.
Oh.
And just, like, boxes being thrown around, and him getting into his new costume.
Love it. So when John arrives, hopefully he's had some medical attention. Your nose has got one of those braces on it with the tape, and your eyes are a little black and blue now.
Yeah.
And you've got your backpack and all of the books that you had brought to Ramon that he left and the letter. And you're just, like, stumbling in over this like wreckage of boxes that Ramon has left behind him. And you come around the corner and are you in your new costume now, Ramon? Is he going to see you? What does it look like?
So Ramon is, he's hanging from a pull-up bar by his feet. And just like trying to like bust out crunches. And he like, just as soon as John comes in, he immediately like drops down and, he stands up to get like the full shot of the costume.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost entirely black. And it is like heavy looking with like a lot of leather. It's got like it's a tight skin suit that has kind of like slashes in it that give the impression of a W. Mm-hmm. That has the blue. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I ordered this online, and it's so obvious that that couldn't possibly happen, but it's comic books.
Right.
It has it's got like kind of like tight with like a little bit of like armor looking things and straps around, like just tons of straps. So like it has like three straps around his upper and lower arms. He's got straps around his chest. And like with like buckles that look like they're tightened, just like as tight as they possibly could go. It has a full leather mask. He used to have like the Spider-Man style thing, mm-hmm. but it like leaving the mouth uncovered. Now the face is covered entirely. But it has a little bit of kind of like the same sort of imagery. So it has like the eyes look the same as they used to do, like they used to. It has like a little bit of a W implication on the forehead that used to be there. But it is just like, it is the gritty 90s, like leather covered belts everywhere version of Windshear. And it is just like, it is strapped onto him. Like it is so clear that it's like squeezing onto his body completely.
And what is John's reaction to this?
I think he kind of just like looks at him, looks around the rest of the room. He turns around, looks back at the door because he's concerned that the lock is busted off. And he turns back to Ramon and tosses he starts taking the books and stuff out of his, out of the backpack, piling them up on a table. And he's just going to turn and be like, so you're going for like a bondage look now, like no judgment. If that's how you want to like live your life. That's like a kind of a harsh shift there though, from Mummy.
It's more secure. No one's going to be able to grab onto anything. Like people were grabbing my shirt all the time. It slowed me down. You know, it's about getting it done, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you tried like a pants and like a t-shirt? Like, are you going to go to work like that?
There's no more time to go to work. I've got a little bit saved.
Wait, whoa. Yeah, not enough. Like, how are you going to pay for this apartment?
I'll figure it out. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm a little worried that you're like, you just got out of the hospital.
And he's like, as he's having this conversation, he's moved into the bathroom and is like looking in the mirror at himself. And like, there've been all these panels in the past that he's like kind of like preens and like looks at himself and fixes his hair and stuff. And it's like very much those exact panels, but with him just like looking at this, this mask, and he goes, I think it's pretty good. I think it'll work. They need to be afraid of me.
John is going to stop, like dead stop, frozen at that, and turn to you from where he's been like futzing with the books and stuff and just say, Ramon, who needs to be afraid of you?
Man, everyone getting in my way. Damascus Steel. The end. I need to stop just screwing around, wasting my time, and get to what needs to happen. I need to save my family. I need to save my world. And I need to stop the people in this one that have been doing all of this crap. You know who needs to be afraid of me? Windshear needs to be afraid of me. And like, we've got the panel with, he's like right up in front of John. I think John is, how tall is John? John's like pretty taller than him, right?
He's probably, mm-hmm. he's not tall, but he's probably taller than him. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Ramon is short. And so he's like pulled up in front of John and just like has like a finger up, like pointing at John, kind of like unintentionally being a little aggressive towards him.
John is like, you're kind of like doing this like tough guy thing in his, in like up in his business. And John is just going to stand there. And he's kind of like fidgeting with his hands. Like he does, like, he's like, he doesn't like quite know what to do with his hands anymore. And like they're like twitching a little bit, like his instinct here is kind of like to do magic or something like that, but he doesn't have his powers anymore. And he's just gonna he shoves his he crosses his arms awkwardly, and then he like he doesn't quite know what to do, and he shoves his hands in his pockets, and he's just like, look, Ramon, you just, I know that you think that like you need to do this and that they need to be afraid of you, but like, listen, I can't stress this enough. You have a lot of things that you need to get done, and I will help you. We will all help you do them. We literally just helped free me from the clutches of like a trickster god, and we did that by, and like when I tried to do that by myself, when I went down the path that you are going down, I failed so hard, and I lost things. And when I went and I found Sage and Ben, and I stayed with them, and like when we all came together as a family, that was when we succeeded. And that's what, like, I'm here for you to do that. And if you just try to like become this, like, and he kind of just like pulls his hands out of his pockets and waves at whatever, like all of Ramon's clothes, he's become this, then you'll lose again. It's not going to work.
I'm not trying to do this on my own.
Do you think that was a provoke?
I think that I'm trying to tell him about the way that the world works.
Yeah, I think that's a label shift.
And I have influence over him.
Great.
I'm trying to raise your mundane and lower your superior. Because I'm saying you can't do this by yourself. You've got to do this as a team.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, he can accept that.
Okay.
That's good by him. Ramon just nods and goes, yeah, I know. I'm not trying to do this on my own. My friends here, you mean the world to me, and I'm gonna work with you, absolutely. I'm not trying to run ahead. I can't keep sitting in that bed. I can't keep waiting and feeling bad for myself. I need to be the hero that I can be.
And at this point, you see, I think John is still like holding a bunch of stuff, not all of it, but you were carrying quite a lot of months worth of living in a hospital room stuff.
And he's been like awkwardly putting books down and picking books up, and like, again, like he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
Mm-hmm. So as you're putting stuff down, Ramon, would you notice that some of that, like, you know which stuff you had and which stuff you didn't? Would you notice that the envelope is in there that,
oh yeah,
yeah, that wasn't there before?
Yeah, as soon as he sees the envelope, like he's on like a rampage of opening everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's like, there's like some mail piled up. He's like ripping one open and like throwing it just like into an empty. He's like throwing mail into empty boxes.
You're like rage cleaning.
Yeah, basically, just like not even like angry, just like moving through it so quickly, mm-hmm, because this is not a useful use of his time.
Got it.
And so, like, yeah, absolutely. He would see the envelope and, like, among the stuff from the hospital and grab it and, like, open it up and pull it out.
Okay.
So he grabs the letter, and I think he's probably gonna read this out loud to John as well, because, like, is weird.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out what it is as you're going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's this?
It was on your, I don't know, it was in the pile of books. It was on your nightstand at the hospital. I figured you wanted it.
Okay. Listen to this. Check this out. Dear Ramon, I hope this letter finds you well and on the mend after your incident. I've been trying to find a way to contact you for some time now, but I fear I can wait no longer as time is running out. You and I have something in common. Neither of us belong here. Please meet me in the bash this evening after dark. Don't let yourself be followed. I'll be waiting for you. Best, P.
Who's P?
I don't know if I know a P.
P. Perry, Penelope, Peter. Do you know a Peter? Do you know a Patricia? Peter, Penelope, Patrick. Do you know Patrick? Do you know a
maybe?
John kind of looks at him, like gets like a, he gets like really excited. Do you know someone named Phoenix?
No, Phoenix? No,
I don't know. Is there like
people named Phoenix?
I'm sure there's a hero named Phoenix.
Ah, true. Yeah. So, I guess I'm gonna go meet this person. You wanna come meet him with me?
Yeah. I mean, that's not even a. You're definitely something's going on with you, man. And so I'm not leaving your side until we figure out what is going on with all this.
So
great, you can help me with this. And as he says that, he pulls out just like he pulls out a box that's just filled with sticky notes and tacks.
Are you making a murder wall?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I guess we got some time.
Cool. And
and then we made a murder wall.
And then you made a murder wall. So the next page shows the murder wall. It's got all these pictures and like string and tacks and like sticky notes and like scratches on the wall and arrows and stuff. And a bunch of Corn Fanta empty bottles all over the floor as you've been feverishly working.
Yeah. Is this, whatever this is, does it make sense to John, or is this like complete nonsense?
Some of it makes sense to John. A lot of it has, it's like, there's a lot of places where he's like written the names and somehow gotten pictures of like some of the big time magic people in the city. Mm-hmm. And like anyone with any connection to time travel. And so like one side of the wall is just covered with that. And like news articles about everything that went on with Mrs. Hobbs.
Ooh,
and
okay.
like anything time travel related in any way is on one side of the wall. And on the other side of the wall is, like, his attempt to break down the criminal empire of Damascus Steel.
Wow.
So, here's the thing. So you said some of this stuff has to do with his mom.
We've got, like, all the time travel stuff on one side of the wall. We've got Damascus Steel's criminal organization mm-hmm. on the other side of the wall. We've got, like, a couple little stickies related to the end, but, like, frankly, he doesn't know enough. And we've got, like, all the Arcanists and everything like that for that. And then, like, the panel that shows us finishing the murder board is him, like, putting in a pin and writing the Archivist in big Sharpie letters.
Okay.
How does that make you feel, John?
So John would not have put anything on this board that was about his mother.
No, yeah.
And he does not like that you have a picture of his mom on the board. He is it, like to the extent that he is going to like wait, I think he might even like what would be a moment where Ramon would like walk away to like go get some water or go to the bathroom or something. Like he's gonna
if they're drinking some Fanta, he would not drink it in the room with you.
Okay. Oh yeah, because the mask. Yeah, so he's gonna wait until like a time where Ramon is like stepping out of the room to take a drink in secret, and he's just gonna take the picture of his mom off the wall and like crumple it and throw it in the trash can.
Hmm.
He wouldn't notice. Ramon would not notice coming back. He looks very like he's walking around the room looking very sad, like body language very satisfied.
Murder wall, sans archivist. Is intact. It's looking pretty great. The floor is still a disaster. Like it's like got scissors and like cut out pieces of newspaper and all the boxes and
extra
it's a mess.
Yarn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it has grown to be evening and you feel like you should maybe get to getting. So I know that Ramon is wearing a costume outside. He ain't taking that costume off. John, would you be wearing anything other than street clothes to go out in a potential hero-ish situation?
Not really. Like he's wearing jeans and he's got like a polo shirt and he's got like the black pullover. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like he's gonna grab his backpack But he's just going to go out kind of looking like a kid. He's not a hero. He doesn't have powers. He's just...
Cool. So you guys are going to leave Ramon's apartment building, shut the broken door behind you, hoping for the best. Bash is in a great neighborhood.
Yeah, but Ramon's not got a whole lot of stuff to steal.
True. He's got a lot of Amazon boxes. And you guys are just going to head out into the night. So the letter was not specific about where you were headed. Do you have a thought as to, like, a kind of underground seedy location that you would think to go to? Or are you just going to wander?
I'm tempted to make it less seedy. My feeling is that if someone was able to get the information to me, they have some eyes on me. In some kind of a way. So, like, basically, Ramon's gonna make sure that he's like, not being subtle as he leaves his apartment. I mean, he's in full super suit, so...
Right.
Gonna be hard to be subtle.
I think we probably get, like, one panel of them, of the two of them, standing, like, in the front of this apartment, and they, like... high five or do like a weird like do a cool handshake that they've probably come up with.
Yes.
And then they go off in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
And then like John will loop back at some point.
I think Ramon's plan would be to go, there's like little community gardens. And he's gonna go to just like one of the little community gardens. It's probably closed at this time of night, but just like jump the fence and get sitting down on a bench to wait.
Perfect. So they're, you're asking them to come to you, which is awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's the way to go.
Cool. I like it. So
John would find somewhere, probably like an emergency like exit, like a fire escape, on one of the buildings, like in a somewhere where he can get up high and like keep an eye on this, but not where he'll be noticed.
Yeah, because we probably arranged this. Like, yeah. there's a reason that this is the one we're going to.
Okay. So you're setting yourself up to be in a safe location where you have...
We're setting up a trap.
Yeah, he's, like, seated. He's got his legs, like, kicking out through the bars. And he's, like, messing around with stuff in his backpack. And, like, he's just sitting there to watch.
Cool. So, Ramon, you're sitting on the bench and you're looking out on the garden, and you start to see sort of a silhouetted figure. The garden has all that lovely, like, mist kind of coming off of it as the moon is coming out. It's sort of a misty silhouette that you see behind the garden, and it looks like a tall figure in, like, a coat and a hat with their hands in their pockets. It's, like, that very stereotypical, who is this silhouetted person?
Yeah. Feels super noir.
Yes, very super noir. Walking toward you, and you hear like sort of the clip clop of hard heeled shoes coming toward you, and they're going to stop just far enough, like a few feet away from you, just far enough that you kind of can't make out any facial features or anything distinct about them, but they're far enough that you know this is probably the person that you're trying to meet. And you're going to kind of realize that it's probably a woman based on the body shape. Like that's your guess, but that's kind of, and they're tall, so they're probably not a kid.
Yeah. Ramon looks up and goes, and just like sort of nods his head and goes, P?
Ramon, nice of you to join me. I didn't realize we were bringing a plus one. Would you like to invite your friend to join us? And it is a female voice. It is an adult. And she speaks in a tone of authority, like she's used to dealing with people, but also having the respect of the people she's dealing with.
The mask kind of crinkles a little bit as though he's like really grimacing hard. And he looks up to where John is, then like looks back at her and says, anything you can say to me, you can say to him too. If you try to hurt him, it's going to go poorly for you. Understood?
Oh, I have no interest in hurting either of you. We just need to have a conversation. So if he'd like to join us, great. If he'd like to stay where he is, that is his prerogative. But we do need to take a walk together. Would that be okay?
My guess is that John can hear all of this. Because we have, like, the communicators and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So he probably, so Ramona's probably just put it on like an open channel. Actually, John probably put it on an open channel
for him
and reattached it to Ramon's mask.
Yeah, John is, he's not gonna, like, he might wave to to Ramon to sort of indicate, like, no, I'm gonna stay up here.
Okay, cool.
But if they get up to start to move, he'll come down from the fire escape and follow them at a distance. Close enough that he can still see, but...
So she's going to get the impression that you are going to go with her, like, nod or something. Great. And she's going to turn around and start to walk back the way she came, down like a dark alley towards this clump of buildings that was... It was like a Falcon project that was being refurbished into like high-end apartments, but the project got totally abandoned when Falcon fell. So it's now kind of just this derelict, bare, falling apart area of the Bash that doesn't get a whole lot of use, but you're headed there.
The Bash will take it back soon enough.
It always does. And is John following any kind of behind or just sort of watching?
Yeah, I mean, he's following. If they're walking, he's following. But he is, I think he's probably even like making, like, if they stop, he'll step back into the an alleyway. Like, he's pretending like he's more of a spy than he really is.
It's this more is so
for,
fun.
It's more for show, and it's a little bit just so that like they can't, like, this person can't see both of them at the same time, like that they could nice. Like if he's like if they were to attack Ramon, he has time to respond, but they couldn't take both of them out.
Got it.
Awesome.
Cool. So she's gonna lead Ramon. She's going to lead you up to an abandoned-looking building. It has construction tape kind of strung over the door. But she just walks up to it, pulls the tape aside, and steps in through the broken door and into a dark interior. She's going to invite you to follow her, but you can't see much when she's inside. It's pitch black.
That's all right. Ramon's going to follow inside.
Okay.
And as he's going in the door, he's going to... kind of like it, like he's been looking more and more frustrated panel to panel, just in terms of like his body language, and he just goes, listen, what's this about? I don't have a lot of time.
I'm really glad you asked, but it's not safe to talk up here. If you will humor me for 3 more minutes, I can give you the answers you want.
And he just looks like a little
doubtful
and walks in.
All right, so as you walk in, you're going to see a light flicker ahead of you, like a couple feet ahead of you, and you realize you're in like the abandoned, it looks like a lobby of an apartment building, but it was not finished. So there's an elevator at the back of the area and like a desk and things like that. And next to the elevator, there's a figure with their hand out and like a little ball of flame in their hand. Doesn't look like it doesn't look like when Sage makes flame for like chucking purposes. This is kind of just to it looks like a lantern light or like a torch light kind of thing. And the figure is just holding it to light the room for you. And the woman walks past him into the elevator and waits for you to join her.
Ramon's gonna stop for a second, put his hand to the side of the helmet to kind of like hit the button for it. And just like whisper super quietly, John, what do you think? Do you want to come in or stay out there?
And John is just going to like say from right behind him, yeah, I can't like follow you from like we're in a building now.
Okay, sounds good. So,
and then
Ramon just kind of like gets an arm around him and like squeezes his shoulder for a sec and walks up to the elevator, so giving like scary black death eyes to the guy with the fire in his hand.
Cool. So the two of you walk in the elevator. The person with the fire in their hand follows you and sort of just lights the room. The elevator doors are going to shut in front of you. And all of a sudden there's this green glow from like the wall that was not there before and looks mechanical. And you look over and it's the same sort of hand scanners that were in the Falcon base It's like one of those green scanners. And the woman's going to hold up her hand to the scanner, scan it, and then the elevator is going to show a number, but it's not a number. It's like just lines because the number is surpasses the elevator's capacity to count. and you're going to start to go down. As you're going down, we get a panel of the four figures in this elevator, and there's definitely awkward elevator music because for some reason they did build that. They didn't build the lobby, but they got the elevator music going. So we have this panel with like the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do and the four like figures standing awkwardly in the elevator.
And like every other panel, Ramon's hands are open or like closed into fists, opened and closed into fists. And there's like a little like squeak.
Because the leather,
yeah.
I love it.
John is definitely like leaning against the side of the elevator, kind of like watching both of these people, especially like, so you said it's recognizable as like Falcon entry tech or whatever.
Yeah, you were in the Falcon base with Sage, right?
No.
John, you weren't?
No.
You were in the Falcon prison.
Oh, that's right. I was in the Falcon prison. Yes.
Yeah. So you recognize it as distinctly the same recognition tech that they had.
Especially now that I've seen Falcon tech, I'm kind of like giving them the stink eye. Especially this dude who's like actively throwing fire around or like making fire or whatever.
Yeah, he's not throwing anything. It's just like literally floating.
Right. But he's like got a fireball. Like he's doing stuff with magic or powers or something.
Yeah, but me and my pal don't like wizards.
Yeah. Don't trust him. So John would be watching this dude with the little flame and just be like, "So you make fire? Is that your thing? Is that like are you like fire guy? Are you a flame thrower? Are you like what's your?"
And they have like a hood up and a big jacket, and they're sort of hunched, so you can't really see their face, but you get the impression it's an older person, like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to grunt at you like,
No, a flame person would be like someone like with like a lot of fire, right? Like this is like Zippo. This is like torchlight.
Yeah. Like matchstick.
Yeah, matchstick.
Okay.
So you're openly mocking him in the
Yeah. The flame person.
Are you trying to provoke?
No, I think I might be. I think I might be trying to pierce his mask, though.
That's fair.
Nice.
I'm trying to like see if he like. I'm trying to figure out what these people are about, and he's the one that I'm more interested in. And like the way I try to figure that out is by like provoking him and or like prodding people and stuff.
Please roll to pierce his mask.
Okay, 13.
13. Nice. 10 plus. Ask 3.
How could I gain influence over you?
If you could prove to him that you're worth anything as a hero.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
I want you to do whatever the woman or the guy wants you to do whatever the woman says. He is strictly there as her like partner, bodyguard, that kind of.
And you said he's wearing a hood?
Yes.
How could I get your character to take off the hood?
Get into the place that they're going. Once it's safe, you will know who this person is.
Okay. And so, yeah, I guess John would turn to Ramon and just be like, "Yeah, I don't think Matchstick here is going to try to pull anything. I think we're fine. I don't know about this lady though."
Ramon just like looks over at her and shakes his head and says, "If she was trying something, she'd have tried it already."
Well, okay.
You two talk a lot. It's cute, but unnecessary. And you're going to hit the floor, and the doors are going to ding open. So when you reach the bottom, the doors open, and you, in front of you, it's like this large, cluttered warehouse space. It's not well organized. It's like multiple lives got like thrown in here, like all their stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're walking through the mess, and she's leading you kind of to the back of this warehouse space with the guy sort of in front.
As we're leaving the elevator and like walking into the space, John would be like, "Unnecessary. I killed a god once. That was necessary. Like, let me tell you a story." And he's just like as they're walking through this base, like he's continuing, like he's starting to feel a little bit more like like the John that we've seen in the past.
Love that.
And so he's just like bantering as we're walking through this space.
Cool. So you start to walk through the room and you see like so many kinds of things, filing cabinets, computer monitors, big storage containers that are, some are open, some are neatly stacked. There's some really fancy couches that are like way too fancy for this space, and they're not stacked in a way that shows that anybody gives a shit that they were expensive.
Can I have that?
She's not going to listen to you right now. there is a bed that looks like it's been slept in. It's got like sort of haphazard blankets like thrown on the floor. It's not made. And then just like so many books, like shelves and shelves of books and newspapers and magazines, and they're all over the floor. Some of them were stacked. Some of them still are stacked. But like it's very clear that somebody has been rummaging through these printed materials looking for something that they may or may not have found. As you approach the back of the room, the man starts to like take his hood down and like undo like a scarf around his neck. And you see that he's an older dude. He's got kind of gray hair. And you can see like the side of his face. He's very weather beaten. Like he has seen some stuff, but it also looks like he probably at one point was a nice guy and has just like been beat to shit at this point. The woman waits until she is all the way at the back where you see this very fancy desk. It's way too fucking fancy for this room. It's got like carved eagle legs and like a glass top, and it's very fancy. She's going to walk around the desk and sit down and say, "Gentlemen, I want to welcome you to what is left of my office. I appreciate you joining me, and my apologies for the circumstances of my letter and the whole sneaking around business. It's not how I hope to get to know you. But with the current reputation of Falcon, and I just didn't think it was safe for us to meet any other way."
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do I recognize her?
You're about to, if you so probably okay. At this point, you okay. probably do, because now there's light on her. You see kind of like long, dark braids and a nice kind of suit shirt underneath. And she's going to lower her hood, and you see and you see the original striped eagle. And she's going to sit down in front of you. And she does that like hand motion for you to sit at the chairs opposite her. And the man is going to stand kind of behind her in like a bodyguard kind of situation.
Ramon would have known her when she was much younger.
So that's the thing. So she sits down and you recognize Striped Eagle, but she is remarkably younger than she should be. She's like maybe in her mid to late 30s, early 40s.
Oh.
And she looks like the Striped Eagle that Ramon might recognize.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio form to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few each issue with a response from our editors. Magpie writes, "With the 2-year anniversary of the podcast recently passing, is there any chance we'll see a revival of old comic lines featuring the adult heroes from Protean City?" That's a great question, Magpie. With all the talk of anniversaries, the writer's room has definitely been buzzing with ideas for a throwback run. We hear that's all the rage these days. We all want to get a chance to see some of our favorite heroes back before their glory days, back when they were just awkward kids trying to figure out how to put on a mask. Let's see. It looks like we do have one short run coming up pretty soon that is sure to please folks looking for a little bit of history. Keep your eyes open for that in your local comic book store sometime maybe early November.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elspeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at @thecatonthewall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at @andthemeltdowns. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.